praise and thanks. I think we could sing again and again and repeat again and again the precious words. But may that be our watchword this morning, that the anointing of the Spirit, that the Lord would dwell in our midst. And we believe with all our hearts that He is not far away, but that He is near. And we are so glad that we can come together, that we can glorify Him and also listen to what He has to say to us. I don't know about all of you, but I was still thinking about all that we heard last night. We have to keep going back and keep taking it to heart, to keep pondering in our hearts what God is saying to us, what He has to say to us through His precious and holy word. For we can indeed say, God has something to say to His people through every word. And it became so great to me that this man said, God must speak to him. And I thought to myself, God speaks. But it is written, God speaks to His prophets. And the prophet makes known to his people the words that God has spoken. I believe it is written in the prophet Amos, God does nothing, but He revealeth His secret unto His servants, the prophets. And so we see that in the Old Covenant, He always communicated His counsel to His prophets. And we heard it last night. Brother Frank said it. He let Moses know his ways. And the people of Israel said to Moses, speak thou to God. Rightly so. They couldn't bear it. And God accepted it. He spoke to Moses. And Moses then spoke to the people what God had spoken. And I think that's the sequence right up to our day. God spoke to His prophets. I was thinking about it. Will the people accept it? Or will they be too high to accept it because it's coming from someone else? Maybe they don't see the prophet. Maybe they don't see the anointed one. You know, it was like this in the days of the Lord. It was prophesied of Him that He would come. And all the learned men and all those in high places, they knew the law. They knew what was written in the prophets. And they were all waiting for Him to come. But when He came, perhaps they even said, He must make Himself known to us. I don't want to hurt anyone here. But it didn't happen the way they thought it would, and the way they might have wanted to see it. It came another way. That's how God works. He can come the other way around and speak to us. And we may think that He's not speaking at all, that a man is speaking. But dear brothers and sisters, we can indeed thank God that we could hear the voice and the speaking of God in our day, and that we know that it was not a man who spoke, but that God spoke through this man. That is the main thing. God uses the men He chooses. We also see in the Old Testament, we could see the prophets appearing. But who wanted to listen to them? Who wanted to accept what they said? Have you already read? Of course, I think certainly. A Jeremiah rejected, an Isaiah all rejected, all whom God sent were rejected. The Lord came, he was rejected, our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, I believe it is a great privilege when God opens the heart and the ears and the understanding that we can indeed perceive His voice. And praise and thanks be to Him that He has spoken in our days. Before we pray, I would like to read a word of God from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, perhaps from verse 12, a couple of verses. Here our Lord Jesus speaks in His time, and these words, I believe with all my heart, are still valid in our time and in our days. Here our Lord says in verse 12, Matthew 7, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it.
Und sein Zusammensturz war gewaltig.
And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. These are precious and holy words. But I don't think we need to be dismayed when we hear these words, and we don't need to get angry or upset about them. But the Lord only means well. He meant well with his people in those days, and he means well with us in our days. I think we could stop here, sentence by sentence, and put something in the light and say something about it. But may it be enough. May these words be awake in us. May the Spirit of God transfigure them for us, that we may take heed, especially in our days. Yes, this became so great to me. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Much could be said, and we could say, the words of our Lord are fulfilled in every detail. They are true. We can only say Amen to every word, because we see that everything our Lord has spoken is being fulfilled so wonderfully. Brothers and sisters, we have arrived in these days. May our eyes be open. May we have open eyes and open hearts. May we be watchful, so that we are not carried away by the turmoil, by all that is happening around us, but may we pay attention to his word and to his word alone. This will lead us to our goal. And so we are grateful for this morning hour. I think that before we continue to hear the word of God through our dear brother Frank, let us stand up to pray together. Faithful God, we thank you with all our hearts, also in this morning hour, that we may once again be gathered here in your marvelous and glorious name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the words of life that you have given us. We thank you for last night. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for what you have given and for what you will still give, Lord. You have words of life for us. O Lord, you said, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and does accordingly, he will be like a wise man. Lord, let us not only listen to your word, but also do according to your word. Lord, help me. Help us, O Lord, in this last time, in this last moment, that we build on the true rock, Lord, that we are not carried away. O Lord, when the storm breaks, when the waters rush in, Lord, when the winds blow, that we may stand firm in you, O Lord. Lord, we know we can only stand when we are fully grounded in your word. Lord, we pray fervently. Continue to bless us this morning and speak to us through your word and through your good Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray, revive my brother. Revive us who will hear, O God. Have mercy on us all and be nigh to us, Lord. We worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord for the privilege of being here again to worship and to thank God for what He has done. You all know we do not come here with a ready-made program, but want to submit to the leading of the Spirit and be a part of the great program of God, as were all the servants and prophets, as were all the people of God. We want to worship the Lord by giving Him His due. And when He comes into His own, then we all come into our own. We usually seek our rights. We don't get it, and God doesn't get it either. But if we are interested in God revealing His will and getting us to do it, then He comes into His own. And when He comes into His own, then we all come into our own. Beloved, last night we contemplated a precious word of God, rejoicing that the Lord has not only spoken to others, but also to us. That He not only had a word for other times that He reminds us of, but that He lets us know, as He dealt with His people in times past, so He deals with His people today. And as He spoke and revealed in times past, so He does today. People may change, circumstances, systems may change, but God and God's Word will always remain the same throughout all eternity. I had read last Sunday from the sermon given by this professor from Tübingen, how this man expressed that God has a prophetic word, and how he said, with reference to John, I read it out for the sake of those who were perhaps not here last night. He says here, the life of this child, this John, was under a prophecy, under a prophetic word. Is there something like that for me too? Is my life also under a prophecy, under a word from God? Then everything would be about the fulfillment of this word of God on me. It would be clear that my life would have a high purpose. Beloved, a few more quotes could be read here from this sermon. He goes on to say, is there also a prophetic word over my life that is to be fulfilled? And then he says, I want to be with this question for a moment in silence. In silence. And then there is even a prayer in between. Dear God, if there is a prophetic word for my life, if you have a word that is specifically for me, let me hear it. I ask you for it. I read on. A prophet speaks God's word for today, for the days ahead. Where does he get this word? It is given to him by God. Someone could have spoken here what the man said there. Here he goes on to say, There are prophetic words for us too. You can hear them from the Bible or from a sermon as they apply to us collectively. But your own personal word for yourself, the special prophetic word for your life, you have to hear it yourself, you alone. Nobody shouts it at you. Nobody throws it at you. Paying careful attention to the words of God as they apply to us together can help you. But you must hear your own special word for this day. Beloved, we don't want to read much more, just these last two, or the very last one. I am looking for the prophetic word for me, the divine word that speaks into my life. I have to find it. Discover it, be ready for it, and when I hear it, I must let it be true, obey it, walk the path, and take the steps. These are the words of a man who held a sermon on the radio last Sunday morning. He teaches as a professor in the city of Tübingen. We, who have realized what this time is all about, are not thankful enough to God. And I recently said to a brother, when we have understood that God has revealed hidden manna, then we should not argue about it, but sit down at God's table and eat the hidden manna, the spiritual food, and thank God for it. I also mentioned this last night, that even earthly, we do not sit down at the table without giving thanks. So we should thank God much more spiritually when we are allowed to sit down at God's table to eat food that has never been on God's table before. A truly abundant offer from God that was not intended or given to past ages. I had to reflect more on this topic. In the course of the plan of salvation, God's word was for individuals, for peoples, for nations, for prophets, for Israel, for the church. Wherever God's word was given to an individual, a people, a church, the Lord wanted to reveal Himself and did reveal Himself. God's speaking was always followed by a supernatural working of God. Not once did God speak into the wind. Every word of God is true, and everything He promised, He did. We have seen that Mary was suddenly placed under a prophetic word. In the prophet Isaiah, it is still written today, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Suddenly, this word shall become truth, shall find fulfillment, and the person through whom this word of promise, this prophetic word, is to be fulfilled, is placed under this word of God. through a heavenly announcement, and already she was done. And she says, I am the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Later it was Zacharias, to whom the angel of the Lord came, and suddenly his life is under a prophetic word, for thus it is written, to this day, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Suddenly God intervened. The people of Israel came together, as they had always done, as had become the custom among them. But God began something supernatural in the midst of this normal course of worship, because the time had come and was fulfilled. We may sometimes think that we come together again and again, year after year, and we may give room to the thought, when will something happen? And perhaps no longer have hope so strong in us. And yet, it will happen when the hour of God strikes. Zechariah did not know at all what he would receive from God and what he would experience. According to the law, he burned incense in the temple, and when he offered this incense offering, he suddenly saw an angel standing at the right side of the altar, who called out the words to him and gave the promise of the birth of John the Baptist. What was it? A sudden, supernatural intervention of God in a formal service that was being held. We don't need to go to extremes to cause God to act. On the contrary, let us remain normal and leave it to God until it pleases Him to do something. This man, Zechariah, did not go to the temple as a pious fantast. The lot has fallen on him, and that was a good thing. When the lot of God falls on us in pleasant places, then we can go to a formal church service, and there we will hear the voice of our God, and the Lord will reveal Himself to us. So it was then, when the time had come for the Lord to reveal Himself and come into the flesh. And you know, when the hour of God strikes, even momentary unbelief cannot stop God from His purpose. And you know very well that Zacharias was so astonished, and that he saw the circumstances, and he just cried out, how can this be? And the angel Gabriel said, because you did not think it possible and did not believe, you shall be dumb. But did God's plan come to a standstill? Has God's plan been hindered by this? No. When the 9 months were up, John was born, and the word of the Lord was fulfilled. Unbelief only stops those who hold on to it. But God goes on according to His word, and we just have to see it as it is. Of course, God has also placed the whole church under a prophetic word. And especially in the times in which we live, we have often and frequently said and also heard that this is now a prophetic age. When a professor talks about God having a prophetic message, and when he pauses for a moment and says, "O God, let me hear this prophetic message for me," then we say yes and amen to that. And may God hear his prayer and speak to him. We are not here as critics or as judges, but as people who have found grace before God. And we want everyone, or at least as many as possible, to come to the knowledge of the truth. But before we can hear the prophetic message and the direct word to the church, we need to know who the messenger was before we can accept the message. And if it is a prophetic message, then we also need to know through whom God brought it and how the prophetic ministry was done. Of course, we live in a time when many are prophetic. And this was already the case in Bible times. The sons of the prophets came together and they prayed until they became prophetically enthusiastic. But that is not what we are talking about today. We are not talking about the current movements that are coming into something. And as Brother Branham judges it, he says, it is the foolish virgins who are coming to get the oil of the Spirit. And what is called a great movement at this time is nothing other than the foolish coming to get the oil. Because they too know that promises have been made for the marriage supper of the Lamb. But the way of God never bypasses the Word of God. On the contrary, the entire church is subject to the Word of God. There is no separate process, but only a process within the bounds of the Word of God. And because we have recognized this, we are grateful to God that He has allowed us to recognize the message for this time. It is only grace that we are allowed to hear the word addressed to us. But I tell you, just as Mary heard the word and a divine purpose was associated with it, namely that the word of promise should become flesh, and just as it was with John and in the New Testament church, so it is with us today. God's prophetic word goes out to the church in order to bring to light the divine purpose, the divine intention for this time, in order to bring it forth. For the word does not return void. It always accomplishes the purpose for which it was sent. At the first coming of the Lord, some people appeared and claimed to be the one. And one of them had taken 400 out into the wilderness and claimed to be something great. But all the faults did not stop God from doing the right thing among those who were able to wait until the hour of God had struck. And so it will be now. What good is enthusiasm? The Bible says, they have been with child, they have been in pain, and when they brought forth, it was wind. Read it in the prophet Isaiah. They have been with child, they have been in pain, and when they brought forth, it was wind. But when Mary gave birth, it was the Son of the Most High. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. When John was born, he was the forerunner, a prophet of the Lord. How marvelous! Both came unto the stage, both appeared at about the same time, the Word and the prophet. And then we see at the end that at the baptism, the Word, which had always gone out to the prophets, the speaking Lord of the entire Old Testament, then goes to the prophet and he says, "No, I don't want to baptize you. I have need to be baptized of thee." And Jesus, our Lord, says, "Let it be so for this time. For thus it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness." Beloved, in the kingdom of God, everything is divinely ordered. Everything goes according to plan. And I say again, as I said last night, we have never heard of God being early or late. God doesn't look at your watch or mine. He doesn't flip through the Roman calendar or the Jewish calendar or your calendar or my calendar to orientate himself in terms of time. God has a very clear orientation from eternity to eternity. And he says, "My counsel shall come to pass, and I will not give my glory to idols. I am the Lord who works all these things." And so we believe that it is He to this day. Of course, many things happen in the midst of this earth, but everything else will seem small and insignificant to us. If we are allowed to belong to those in whose midst God is doing something, and we have been saying this for a long time, we are not interested in what people or demons do. We are only interested in what God is doing among His people at this time, according to His Word. We want to have a full share in this. Zacharias stood at the altar of burnt offering. He did not know otherwise, nor could he have guessed what would happen. Suddenly, something happens. He hears a voice. He sees a figure. And I emphasized it in Zurich. It is the sacrifice during which the whole congregation lay in prayer before the face of God. And the rising smoke indicated that this is how the prayers of the saints ascend to God and to His throne. And that is why it is still spoken of in the book of Revelation, of the prayers of the saints being poured out as incense before God's throne of grace. What was it? God had answered the prayers. The time of the fulfillment of His Word had come. John was under a special prophetic word. And the message he brought was a prophetic message applicable to the kingdom of God at that time. And all those who believed his preaching were justified before God and prepared inwardly for Christ their Savior. This message was very different from what Zacharias did in the temple. A new age began, a new epoch, the introduction from the Old to the New Testament had arrived. The bridge was built from the law to grace. And we see, when it is written, the law and the prophets were until John. From then on, the kingdom of God is preached, and whoever does violence enters it by force. When the kingdom of God is here, we cannot lay our hands in our laps, but must be seized by God and make every effort to be involved in this work of God. Beloved, these people were never indifferent. Let us remember the man Simeon, who also waited for the consolation of Israel, for the coming of the Messiah. And he was given a prophetic word, and that was, "You will not die until you have seen Christ, the Messiah." This man carried this word until the day he saw it fulfilled with his own eyes. And then he took the child Jesus in his arms and said, "Lord, now you let your servant depart in peace, as you promised, because my eyes have seen the salvation of God." This shows us where the Spirit of God leads people who have received the word of promise, God's word of prophecy, into their hearts for their time. They are not led into the wilderness. They do not run after every man. They are led to Christ and see the Word made flesh. Yes, they see the fulfillment of what God has promised. There was also an old woman named Hannah in the temple, and it is said of her that she also waited for the consolation of Israel. And suddenly, the Spirit of God came upon her, and she spoke to all those present. Beloved, she did not give a lecture, but like Mary, when the Spirit of God came upon Mary, she did not address anyone and say, "Dear congregation, today I would like to give a lecture. Please allow me." We don't find that in God's Word. Here it says in Luke chapter 1 from verse 45 or 46, "And Mary said, 'My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty has done to me great things, and holy is his name.'" Was that a sermon? It was a praise that sprang from her heart, for the promise had come upon her. and she had a share in what God was doing at that time. Beloved, as Brother Ruth said earlier, I don't want to hurt anyone. But if we are still to ask people to pray or to give thanks, then I don't know whether the Spirit of God has already been able to reveal to the individual what this time is really about. If the Spirit of God is upon us, as He was upon Mary, upon Zacharias, upon Simon, upon Hannah, upon all these children of God, and if we, like them, recognize the Bible prophecy at this time, then no one needs to ask us for a formal prayer. No, then we forget all the formalities of prayer. And then it bubbles up from our innermost being, and we can concentrate on what God has done in this time. This is how you can actually recognize whether people are on the ball. Because if people pray after a sermon for things that weren't covered in the sermon at all, then they were sitting in the chair, but their ears or their minds were elsewhere. Here we have a biblical prayer at a time when a prophetic word was being fulfilled in Israel. Beloved, don't we have Bible prophecy for the last days, for the end times? Did not God say that before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes, He will send the prophet Elijah to restore all things? And when we have grasped and believed this, then our prayers will go purposefully towards the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. They can no longer ignore it. Those who preach past the fulfillment of Bible prophecy will pass it by. And those who pray past it have perhaps already passed it by. Here is the standard. All those who prayed at that time, they placed what was happening in the kingdom of God at the center of their praise and worship. There was a great difference between them and everyone else. The Lord Jesus said to the others in Mark chapter 7, "In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, and laying aside the commandment of God." And then our Lord says in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 24, "God seeketh such worshippers who worship Him in spirit and in truth." Mary worshipped in spirit. Zacharias worshipped in spirit. Simeon worshipped in spirit. Hannah worshipped in spirit. What was it? The same Spirit of God who made the Word become flesh and fulfilled it was upon those who experienced this fulfillment. It was a union of God with His people in the hour in which Bible prophecy was fulfilled in their midst. And the same is happening in this time. Only we seem to be a little slower, not as moved inwardly as we should be, to thank the Lord so wholeheartedly for what He has done. I think that today we should use the time to praise our God, to give Him the honor. Who are we that He has spoken to us? Who are we to live in a time when Bible prophecy is being fulfilled? And even if everyone else points to the past and says, God did this in the days of Moses, God did this in the days of Abraham, God did this in the days of Noah, then we can say in all humility, God is doing this today according to His word among His people. And all who come under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, who rested on the prophets through whom God spoke in times past, they will in the same spirit offer praise and honor to God and go forward in faith without being stopped by anyone. Our prayers should ascend to God. When did they ascend to God? When the time had come, the hour of fulfillment of the divine promise for those days. Beloved, it is the same now. We are not only living at the beginning of the end times, we are living at the end of the end times. God has spoken, God has fulfilled, and God continues to do so. We who can see this would like to have a full share in it and ask God for it from the bottom of our hearts. Lord, give me the personal word, the prophetic word that You have given to Your people, to Your church at this time. Anyone can repeat what is written 7 times in Revelation 2 and 3. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. But God is not looking for people who repeat this. God is looking for people to whom He can truly speak and who take to heart what the Spirit says to the churches. And we know that the Spirit has always spoken through the mouths of those who were destined and chosen to do so. Beloved, if I may conclude by saying that exactly by this, that Brother Branham can report that an angel of the Lord came to him in May 1946 and said, I am sent from the presence of God to give you this commission. Exactly the same thing the angel Gabriel told Zacharias and said, I stand in the presence of God. What was it? And if you want to look it up in Luke 1, this angel Gabriel stopped halfway through the verse of the prophet Malachi and only mentioned the first part that referred to John's ministry and didn't mention the second part that referred to the end of the time of grace. Here it is written in Luke chapter 1, verse 16, and many of the children of Israel shall He turn to the Lord their God, and He shall go before Him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. This is the end of the Old Testament text from the word of prophecy found in Malachi. Then the angel Gabriel goes on and says, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. We all know this story inside out, but it's time we learn it by heart. There are so many of God's people who know the Word of God inside out, and so few who have recognized it inwardly and by heart and experienced the impact of the Word in their heart and soul. Even though he did not believe, he was told, and behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day when this promise of mine is fulfilled. He knew exactly that this promise was a promise of God, a promise of the Word, that the time had come for Bible prophecy to take its course. And the announcement was according to the Word of God. Beloved, the same is true of the time in which we now live. It wasn't just any man who appeared with any program, but a man sent from God with a divine message to call out the people of God in this time. All those who have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches will respond from the heart. And I say to you, when the speaking of God has become a living reality in your soul, then in all of us, a well of water will spring up into everlasting life. It will trigger a divine reaction in your soul and in mine, just as it did with Mary, Zacharias, Simeon, and Hannah. Even if someone had wanted to silence these people, it would not have worked. I still remember an incident where people came to our Lord and said, do you not hear these people crying out? You all know what they were shouting. Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. This prophetic word was already written in the prophet Zechariah in chapter 9. And when the Messiah, the King, was about to enter, this word was fulfilled. They could have fetched stones for all the children and for all those who rejoiced and jubilated there. In the midst of it all, God prepared praise for himself. And because the old, stiff-necked and hardened, did not recognize it, God used the mouths of children and infants to fulfill the scriptures. And our Lord says, if these were silent, the stones would cry out. He should have added, it is written. And here is fulfilled what is connected with my entry. Beloved, the whole life of Jesus, from his birth to his suffering and death, his burial, His resurrection and ascension, everything was under Bible prophecy. Is it true or not? Say amen if it is true. Everything was under Bible prophecy. It began, a virgin shall conceive. Ended, thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast laid captivity captive. Everything is already written in the Old Testament. If these are silent, then the stones will cry out. If Mary had kept silent, if Simeon had kept silent, if Zacharias had kept silent, if Hannah had kept silent, if the children, if the infants, who perhaps could not even speak yet, but then they could speak because the hour of God had struck. The old did not want and the young were allowed to. That is the hour in which God's word is fulfilled. And I tell you, we are now living in such a prophetic hour. Blessed and praised be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let us stand up and thank the Lord together. Heavenly Father, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts, also this morning, for your infallible word, which has proceeded from your mouth from the very beginning, and it is still valid today. O Lord, we have heard from your word what you have spoken, Lord, what you have made known to your prophets, Lord. It has been fulfilled at all times, O Lord, and to this day. O Lord, your words are being fulfilled. Hallelujah. We worship you together this morning. O Lord, and give you the honor, praise, glory, and worship. For you are worthy to be praised, worthy to be honored, Lord. Lord, our desire is that our hearts also may be set on fire as the heart of Hannah was set on fire in the temple. She went enkindled by the Holy Spirit. She uttered words. Hallelujah. Lord, come into our midst. Come into our hearts, O God, and set our hearts on fire, that we may break forth in rejoicing, Lord, that we might exalt and worship you as is pleasing to you, not according to our thoughts, not as we would have it, but as your Spirit would have it. O Lord, work it in us all. Lord, may our hearts be open so that you can fill them to overflowing. O Lord, this is my prayer and my desire. Even this morning, you have spoken so mightily through your word, Lord, and we give you the honor for it and the praise and the glory. Hallelujah. To your wonderful name.